This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
No Christmas parties. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, December 11th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A top coronavirus advisor to President-elect Joe Biden says there should be no Christmas parties this year. Meanwhile, an FDA panel has approved Pfizer's vaccine.
Senate Republicans have rejected a bipartisan coronavirus relief proposal. Meanwhile, the House has adjourned until next week.
A report says Attorney General Bill Barr has known about investigations into Hunter Biden since the spring, but kept them quiet during the heated election year.
And what you need to know before buying a cheap smart TV.
Basics are that all the smart TVs run on a specific software platform, whether that be Amazon, whether that be Roku, or whether that be Google. So this is going to determine what you get to watch, because the smart TV doesn't work with everybody.
Jefferson Graham at USA Today has the basics of buying today's smart TVs. As expected, a Food and Drug Administration advisory panel has recommended approval of the COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer and its German partner, BioNTech. The approval, by a vote of 17-4 with one abstention, opens the door for the FDA to grant emergency authorization of the vaccine as early as today. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
Pending the FDA's authorization, LA County will get up to 83,000 doses in the next few days, as many as 500,000 doses by the end of December.
Federal agencies will monitor the use of COVID-19 vaccines long after their release, tracking things like how long immunity will last. Archana Chatterjee, dean of the Chicago Medical School, said she dissented on the vote yesterday because there isn't enough data to justify having 16 and 17-year-olds in an emergency authorization. Meanwhile, Dr. Michael Osterholm, a top coronavirus advisor to President-elect Joe Biden, says there should be no Christmas parties this year, telling CNN we face a COVID siege for weeks to come. As millions of Americans hold their breath over coronavirus relief from Congress, there are few signs of progress on Capitol Hill. Top Senate Republicans indicated yesterday they wouldn't accept a bipartisan compromise on two key sticking points: aid for state and local governments and liability protections for businesses during the pandemic. Democrats' support behind the Problem Solvers Caucus working on a $908 billion proposal, leaving in question whether they would be willing to support a package without funding for states and localities. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
This is a smaller package. And as I have said, this is not a stimulus package. It's an emergency supplemental to deal with what we have. I think they've made great progress.
About 12 million Americans soon lose unemployment benefits and face possible eviction. Those desperate for help will have to wait longer for Washington to figure out how to help them. After votes yesterday, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer of Maryland told colleagues they'd adjourn until at least Tuesday. Four states that President Trump carried 4 years ago but lost in his reelection effort last month are urging the Supreme Court to reject the lawsuit filed by Texas seeking to undo Joe Biden's victory. Officials in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin say the case has no factual or legal grounds and offers, quote, bogus claims. Texas is asking that the voting results in those states be thrown out because of their changes in voting procedures that allowed expanded mail-in voting during the coronavirus pandemic. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
We don't know now how credible those mail-in ballots were, because one, there were so many of them and the system was overwhelming. Two, a lot of those states eliminated things like signature verification, which is the only check you have on the credibility of those ballots.
Mr. Trump, by the way, has made allegations of widespread voting fraud. As you know, state election officials have said they have found no evidence of it. The Trump campaign and its allies already have been rejected in numerous lawsuits in state and federal courts. It's 11 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers powered by Intel Core processors for your small business. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and thousands of top-brand electronics, all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Moderates in the Senate trying to hash out an end to the deadlock on a coronavirus relief bill will still need leaders in Congress on board if they hope to avoid the end faced by similar ill-fated working groups, sometimes known as gangs, on Capitol Hill. More from Zach Cohen, Senate correspondent at National Journal. Zach, take us through this.
Currently, there's a group of moderate senators and moderate House members that have been huddling in over the last couple of weeks to figure out a way to get through this deadlock on coronavirus relief. As your listeners know, there hasn't really been a substantial coronavirus relief package in many months. And as the final days of the Congress tick down and the holiday season approaches, there's been a real push on behalf of these moderates to try to get some sort of deal that can pass both the House, the Senate, and get signed into law by outgoing President Trump. And so what's interesting about this is that this group, they might call themselves the 908 Coalition. Senator Chuck Schumer calls them the Gang of Eight. Mm-hmm. Gangs, so to speak, are a recent tradition in the Senate, especially as leadership has become much more prominent and powerful in the legislative process to try to hammer out compromises on really thorny political issues. And it seems coronavirus is just the latest of those.
All right. So speaking of thorny issues, a couple of the problematic spots here with coronavirus aid is funding for state and local budgets, which is a priority of Democrats, and then on the Republican side, liability protections for businesses. But these issues have been there for months, right? We're not making any progress here?
That's right. Liability protections for businesses, healthcare providers, schools, colleges, you name it, has been a priority, especially of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's, and it's been a key stumbling block. I think a lot of attention has been focused on the top-line number. You had Democrats who wanted to spend many trillions of dollars mm-hmm. to try to get something passed, whereas Republicans wanted to keep something to under $1 trillion, you know, sort of a trillion being their max. But liability protections was also really critical. You've had Democrats support such things in the past, but on this particular issue, they didn't want businesses to sort of have a get-out-of-jail-free card, so to speak, while Republicans were worried about a quote-unquote epidemic of lawsuits that hasn't fully materialized against businesses where employees or customers might have gotten sick. On the other side, you've got the state and local funding, which is obviously a huge part of the CARES Act that mm-hmm. passed in March. A lot of state, local, tribal governments have been using that money not just to fund the healthcare response, but also to help maybe shore up their budgets as they've seen their income taxes, tax revenue decrease as there have been unemployment or people who have gone part-time. And being able to get both of those done, and I should note, state and local funding is not something that just Democrats support, but also a fair number of Republicans. I think it's part of the reason you're okay. seeing it in this bipartisan group, although it has been more of a priority for Democratic leadership during these talks.
We're speaking with Zach Cohen, Senate correspondent at National Journal. He's written a piece entitled "A Senate Gang Faces a Similar Obstacle, Leadership." How about the history of these so-called gangs? I don't know. Does their forming lead us to believe that something will get done?
They've got sort of a mixed record on this. It's actually far back in the history of Obamacare, the ACA, there was a gang led by Max Baucus, who was then the Senate Finance Chairman of the Democrat, and actually laid some of the groundwork for what became some of the most sweeping health care law in the nation's history. And then you've got other examples in the Gang of Eight that Schumer was a part of, actually, a couple of years back to pass comprehensive immigration reform, actually passed the Senate, got to the House, and unfortunately never even got a floor vote because House Speaker John Boehner was facing a revolt on his right from members of his caucus in the House. Other examples of this, Senator Mark Warner, who's currently part of this coronavirus relief negotiation, he was a member of the Gang of Six that addressed the national debt and the deficit with Senator Saxby Chambliss, who I talked to for this story. Again, a very thorny issue. How do you address the massive amount of spending and the lack of revenue coming in to balance the nation's books? And so some of these proposals end up sort of making their way into law. Some really don't go anywhere. And other times they sort of, you know, find bits and pieces, end up getting picked up later in different bills, but maybe not in total. But the key in all this is that while maybe the finer details are worked out by these, you know, quote-unquote gang members, really at the end of the day, what gets a floor vote is leadership. And they're not going to put anything on the floor that they don't support.
Thanks, Zach. Zach Cohen, Senate correspondent at National Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The FDA's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee has endorsed the widespread use of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, recommending it be authorized for mass distribution within days, so the shipments are ramping up. National Institutes of Health Director Dr. Francis Collins explains vaccination priorities to Fox News.
Initial priorities are for healthcare providers, because they're on the front lines, and also for people who are very vulnerable, that is, residents of nursing homes and assisted living.
Number two.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's warning stimulus talks could drag on past Christmas if Republicans and Democrats can't agree on a second COVID-19 relief package next week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is balking over liability protections for business.
Number three.
With rapidly multiplying coronavirus cases placing healthcare workers and hospital capacity in peril, states around the country are tightening restrictions.
It's a bit of a moving target, but these 3 weeks, if we all pull together here and do the right thing, we should be able to be in a much better place by the time the vaccines arrive.
A day after testing positive for COVID-19, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf noted a new daily state record for coronavirus deaths and announced new coronavirus mitigation measures from midnight tonight through early 2021, including closing indoor dining, theaters, entertainment venues, cinemas, arcades, bowling alleys, and gyms. New York City's education department is launching a plan to address what it's calling a COVID achievement gap, acknowledging many students have suffered a learning loss during the shift to remote learning. The school's chancellor says the first step will be to administer citywide diagnostic tests to assess the deficits. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled three Muslims put on the national no-fly list after refusing to be informants for the FBI can sue the federal government for damages. Attorneys for the men say they legally migrated to the U.S. and have never posed a flying threat, but found themselves on the no-fly list after they turned down the FBI request. President-elect Joe Biden and his VP Kamala Harris have been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. They were chosen over three other finalists: President Trump, frontline healthcare workers fighting COVID-19, and the movement for racial justice that grew after George Floyd's death in Minneapolis police custody.
All right. Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Today, I'm here with Josh Hunt, Executive VP and Chief Business Development Officer at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Josh, if I wanted to start a new business, what is it that makes Michigan so attractive?
Yeah, if you want to start a business in Michigan, we have unbelievable assets here in Michigan for our entrepreneurial community as well, in terms of opportunities for growth through access to capital, services, great universities, and a talented workforce that can grow through those startup businesses here in Michigan. We've seen examples of companies grow from an idea to over $1 billion valuation, companies like Duo Security and others that have grown here through the strong ecosystem of support that we have for high-tech startups here in the state.
To hear more of this interview with Josh Hunt from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. That's thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. Thanks for being with us. That holiday special from Best Buy sounds really enticing, right? 40-inch smart TV from TCL for $159. So what's the catch? It's an Android TV, which may not be a catch, but it's something worth considering, because even if you have Amazon Echo speakers through your home, you won't be able to use them to talk to your new TCL TV. A TV buying guide now from Jeff Graham, personal technology columnist at USA Today. Jeff, what are the basics?
Basics are that all the smart TVs run on a specific software platform, whether that be Amazon, whether that be Roku, or whether that be Google. So this is going to determine what you get to watch, because the smart TV doesn't work with everybody. And the big thing I want to say is Wonder Woman 1984. Okay? Wonder Woman 1984. This is the sequel to the 2017 Wonder Woman movie. It's coming out, and it's going to be premiering in a few theaters, if you can find one, and it's going to be on HBO Max, which is the new streaming service from HBO. And if you'd like to see it, and you buy a the Roku TV, it's actually a TCL-branded Roku TV, you won't be able to see Wonder Woman because Roku doesn't have a deal with HBO Max.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Maybe they will by December 25th, but they don't have one now.
You have to really, after reading your story, I felt like you really have to know what your favorites are and what your preferences are here, because that matters.
Yeah, well, that's a big one. Amazon doesn't have Peacock, which is the new channel from NBC Universal that lets you watch The Tonight Show and late night earlier. And they've got a bunch of interesting documentaries. They have a great documentary on Pete Souza, who was Obama and Reagan's photographer, which is on Peacock. So I've enjoyed it, but it's not on Amazon. It is on Roku. And you go back and forth and back and forth. And then Google will just drive you crazy because they've had this thing called Android TV. They carry most of the channels, but now they're ditching Android TV, and they have a new thing called Google TV. Google TV will make recommendations to you about what you want to watch based on your search history and what you watch on YouTube. Yeah, so that's pretty good, right? Except that they're tracking everything you're doing, and then they're throwing the stuff in there. And Google TV is only on a handful of TVs, and so there's all sorts of craziness going on with Google. If I were the consumer, I like Roku. I think Roku is great, except Wonder Woman could knock you out. Now, one way you can get around this is buy the TCL branded TV. They're dirt cheap. I mean, you can get one for like $300 to $400. And then buy an Amazon Fire TV streaming stick, which will cost you all of $20.
Yeah.
Stick it in the back of the set, and now you can watch Wonder Woman.
Right. There you go. TV buying guide from Jeff Graham, personal technology writer at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Steve Jobs used to talk about how much time and energy we waste picking out clothes every day. That's especially true in the work from home era that we're in now. But just because a suit's not required doesn't mean you want to get so casual you look like you just rolled out of bed. Cuts Clothing has the perfect answer. You don't need to choose your outfit. Just throw on a Cuts shirt or polo, some pants, and you look professional and feel amazingly comfortable. The quality you need for business, the comfort you want for anything else, home or away. And for winter, their new hoodies made with custom Hyperloop French Terry fabric are essential. They spent 4 years getting them just right. I love that they're soft, comfortable, warm, and made for the long haul. Try one on. You'll be a Cuts Clothing customer for life. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. Seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Tired of trying to separate fact from fiction? Get your information from a source you can trust. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Friday, December 11. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: FDA could authorize the Pfizer vaccine today. Coronavirus relief measure rejected by Senate Republicans. Indiana executed a man convicted of a double murder. Stocks finished mixed. For supporting a boycott of Goya earlier this year, the company named New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Employee of the Month after sales shot up 1,000% thanks to her publicity. Rams over the Patriots in Thursday Night Football, and the stunning number of Dairy Queen customers in Minnesota who took part in a Pay It Forward. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. This holiday, stay home, stay safe, and send the greatest gift of all, Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com and type Gordon in the search bar and take advantage of an exclusive offer available only to our listeners. We can't talk enough these days about the finer points of how coronavirus vaccines are going to be distributed. to tens of millions of Americans. Airlines and trucking companies tasked with deliveries will need to figure out how to keep the vaccines as cold as minus 70 degrees Celsius. The airline industry will need to be ready to transport millions of doses despite being pummeled so badly by the pandemic that it was forced to slash services and reduce fleets. More from Jessica Werman, transportation reporter at CQ Roll Call. Jessica, what are you hearing?
Well, so, I mean, the first thing is we're already looking at the supply chain a lot more intensely than we were, say, this time last year, because, you know, the supply chain was crippled very early on in the pandemic. So the worry is, you know, is that something that's going to last for the distribution of the vaccines? And the early indications are not necessarily. These shipping companies, airlines, freight companies have been planning for this for months. There are still some very, very specific things that they need to do to distribute this vaccine. For example, the Pfizer vaccine has to be kept cold at negative 70 degrees Celsius. So that's pretty cold. That's some deep freezing right there. And they need to make sure that that happens from the beginning to the end of the supply chain. They've also got some complications because these vaccines are just going out at the very beginning of the holiday season. So I don't know about you, but I'm doing a lot of shopping online these days. I don't really want to go to a store. So UPS, FedEx are having to sort of do a little bit of a complicated juggling act. And it's not really good news, but the vaccine is maybe coming out a little bit more slowly than people might anticipate, particularly Pfizer at first. So, you know, they're balancing, they're doing this juggling act at the same time that just a few doses, the doses are beginning to dribble out, and there will be more of a flood of vaccines coming out in the months ahead.
Also, we don't have as many planes in the air like we did a year ago. So how does that factor in?
Well, you know, I think the supply chain will have to ramp up. And keep in mind, when people start getting vaccinated, they're going to feel more comfortable flying again.
True. Yeah.
There's probably a lot of trips that they would like to have taken last year that they didn't because of the virus. So these things are going to come at once. But the airlines kind of need this. I mean, they've had to scale back dramatically because, ridership has plummeted. Now, only a few smaller airlines have actually closed down. I think I can think of one off the top of my head, and probably, you know, one that most of the listeners have not, ridden on. It's not like a Southwest or an American or something like that. So they're going to have to scale up again. Now, the other issue here is that some of these pilots and flight attendants, because some of these the passenger flights take cargo as well, they have been furloughed, so they're going to have to get some recertification before they can get in the air again.
Oh,
but
wow.
There shouldn't be a huge problem scaling up. It's just sort of a matter of, it's kind of a delicate dance.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jessica Werman, transportation and infrastructure reporter at CQ Roll Call, and she's written a piece entitled Shipping Networks Prep for COVID-19 Vaccine Distribution. How about these test flights you referenced?
Yeah. Because this has to be a controlled environment. Some of the airlines, some of the major airlines, United and American, have been running test flights to make sure that they can actually do what they need to do to get this vaccine safely across. And that includes carrying these things with dry ice. There's regulations about how much dry ice is frozen carbon dioxide, and there's regulations on how much you can carry. So they sought, in United's case, a waiver from the FAA allowing them to carry more dry ice than before. Now, there's not a permanent rule on that. The FAA granted just this waiver to United that allowed them to take five times the amount of dry ice that's normally taken on an aircraft. The question and the thing I'm going to be watching in the weeks and months ahead is, will there be other adjustments to the rules? Will those flights include flights with passengers? Because this is a cargo-only flight. We're going to see sort of a series of regulatory shifts and changes in order to accommodate this. I know on the freight side, for example, they've granted some flexibility in the hours of service that drivers, the hours of service that they have to take. Like, you have a mandatory rest period. So you're going to see some flexibility in the months ahead. Now, I don't know how this changes from a Trump to a Biden administration, but that's something that we're going to all want to watch.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, right, it's December. Mm-hmm. We're heading into the winter months when snow is always a factor.
Yeah, we have that as well. I mean, and that's the thing. There's a lot of things that need to work in the supply chain in order to make this, you know, as smooth as possible. There's going to be wrinkles. Wrinkles are bound to happen. I mean, I typically fly to Iowa during the Christmas season, not this year. And I can tell you that I've been stranded a number of times at Chicago O'Hare.
Thanks, Jessica. Jessica Werman, transportation and infrastructure reporter at CQ Roll Call. 19 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's been a while since we've talked about any egregious mask fails by NFL coaches who seem, for the most part, to have gotten their act together on the sidelines after a rough first few weeks to start the season. Leave it to Patriots coach Bill Belichick, however, to give all of America a chuckle as he continues to mix his trademark intensity with some funny mask moments. The future Hall of Famer has taken to wearing not one, but two masks on the sidelines as of late. What looks to be an N95 type mask on top of a cloth mask with a hole in the mouth area, worn presumably there for comfort. At one point, Belichick was seen on camera last night with the outer mask missing, wearing only the cloth mask with the hole in it, leading to many jokes on Twitter about how his face covering was certainly not league approved. Others joked that the round hole near his mouth resembled a zero, the same chance the Patriots have of making the playoffs this year.
Ouch.
Yeah, another joke that Belichick has taken to cutting his masks like he cuts the sleeves off of his famous sideline hoodies.
Mm. Yeah, I feel terrible for the Patriots.
Oh, do you?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're all broken up about it, I can tell.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Not going to make the playoffs this year. That's tough.
I don't know, what, six games ahead of the Jets, right?
Oh,
now,
I was just looking that up right now.
Sorry, there's no chance the Jets could mathematically catch up to the Patriots any point this year.
You're right. So even with a four-game winning streak, the Jets would not catch the Patriots.
So even in the worst year in 20 years for the Patriots, the Jets are still six or so games behind.
Are still terrible. is it possible that the hole in his mask was for snacking?
I mean, that's what it would be for me.
Little emergency bite during the middle of the game, maybe?
For sure. I mean, you know, going 3-4 hours without a snack would be tough for me to do.
Or perhaps some Pepto-Bismol pills based on the way the Patriots were playing last night.
That's also possible. Okay. And as 2020, a year that left many people feeling like things are going down the toilet, finally nears its end, an Indiana sanitation company is flush with praise as it looks to celebrate the holidays and New Year. Fox News says Service Sanitation of Gary uses its portable toilets for an annual light show set to music with animated faces on the porta potties that lip sync to the songs. They call it the Jingle Johns, a lighted loo experience. The company said its latest performance went number one this week, claiming it set a record for the most animated faces on a single holiday light display for its 32 toilet rendition of Hallelujah. It shared a video of the performance online. Service Sanitation is also touring four of the porta potties around parts of Indiana and Illinois for a 20-minute live light show with several songs, jeez, with stops scheduled at church events, a drive-in movie, and a New Year's Eve fireworks celebration.
No kidding. Hey, toilets on tour.
Get in the car, kids. We're going to see the toilets.
How about that? Very good. Good story. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers powered by Intel Core processors for your small business. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and thousands of top-brand electronics, all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
The top stories and expert interviews that make sense of what you care about. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for joining us. A top Clorox executive says retail shelves will not be well stocked with the company's popular disinfectant wipes until the middle of next year, as feverish demand during the COVID-19 pandemic continues to outstrip supply. The comments from Clorox Chief Operating Officer Eric Reynolds mark the third time this year the company has pushed back the time frame for easing nationwide shortages. In May, Clorox officials said they expected substantial improvement in supplies by last summer. Then in August, an executive said stocking up would take at least till the end of 2020. For months, shoppers across the country have scoured the internet and store shelves for Lysol sprays and Clorox wipes, only to find shelves picked clean after households stocked up on cleaning products to protect against infection. Wipes were among the first products to be hit by pandemic-related shortages, of course, along with toilet paper and hand sanitizer. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
An FDA advisory group's concluded Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine appears safe and effective against the coronavirus in people 16 and older. The FDA is now set to give the final okay for emergency use authorization, and that would kick the rollout into high gear to hospitals first, then state facilities and pharmacy distribution centers, and lastly, health clinics and drugstores.
Number two.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's rejecting the bipartisan COVID relief package worth around $908 billion.
I hope our colleagues let Congress deliver more help soon. A lot of Americans simply cannot afford to wait.
He is calling for talks over state and local government aid and liability protections for businesses to be dropped from discussions.
Number three.
With coronavirus cases climbing up, states around the country are clamping down. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam announced all residents age 5 and older must wear face coverings at both indoor and outdoor public settings outside their own household, and warns the state will be stepping up enforcement.
The statewide rate of test positivity is at 11%. That's almost doubled in just 1 month.
Under a new statewide curfew that begins Monday, Virginians must stay inside from midnight to 5 a.m. unless they're commuting to or from work or seeking medical attention. In the latest agreement under the Trump administration's Abraham Accords initiative, Morocco will normalize ties with Israel. But under terms of the deal, the U.S. will recognize the disputed territory of Western Sahara as part of Morocco, despite international opposition and fierce resistance from the indigenous population. Death row inmate Brandon Bernard told the family of the couple he killed he was sorry before dying by lethal injection in Indiana last night after last-minute clemency pleas were rejected by the Supreme Court. Convicted of murder in 1999 as a teenager, he's the youngest offender to be executed by the federal government in nearly 70 years. Taylor Swift dropped her ninth studio album at midnight, surprising music fans. She shared the news about her album Evermore via social media, tweeting, "It's a gift to fans whom she called so caring, supportive, and thoughtful on her birthdays." Swift turns 31 on Sunday.
She's been killing it now for, what, 12, 14 years or something, right?
It's hard to believe she's turning 31.
Yeah, right? Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. How about this for a mix of fun and generosity? The staff of a Minnesota Dairy Queen was stunned when a drive-through customer paid for the vehicle behind him only to set off a chain reaction that inspired over 900 others to do the same. On December 3rd, the anonymous customer paid for the person behind him in the Dairy Queen drive-thru in Brainerd. KARE 11 Television says that second customer then asked to do the same. From there, the small act of kindness just kept getting bigger, with each subsequent customer wanting to do the same. The store manager said she's previously seen about 15 to 20 customers consecutively pay it forward, so this grand of a scale was unprecedented. Later that night, the manager posted on the store's Facebook page that someone had donated enough to pay for more orders when Dairy Queen reopened the next morning and the good deed resumed. The Dairy Queen customers kept paying for each other's orders through Saturday, with 900 cars paying for $10,000 worth of sales. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.